and welcome to episode 15 of Unlock Your Life. And I can't wait to introduce this episode to you guys because today I'm going to start with the money interviews. And over the coming 10 weeks, I'm going to release every single interview I've done over the past period. And I have interviewed the most amazing people in the world. People like Kate Northrup, Mike Watts, Brigitte Van Tuyl, Mindy Stern, Hugo Bakker, Alan Kleinhans, Azim Sabukhan. Let me see, who else did I interview? I interviewed Minister Wells. So many amazing people. So every single week, over the next 10 weeks, you will get to hear one of these interviews. And these are real people with real stories and real life experience. And we're just going to really get into what journey they went on to get to the place they are now. And they're really open, really raw, and really amazing interviews. So today, we're going to kick off this whole series with Stephanie Ward. So tune in, stay tuned, and listen to all of these episodes because it's going to change your life. Hello, everybody. This is Susan McLean-Kont, and welcome to the next episode of Unlock Your Life. And we are here in the money interviews with Stephanie Ward. And Stephanie Ward is a business coach. She lives in the Netherlands. She's a business and marketing mentor. And we met through a mutual network relationship. And what I really love about Stephanie's approach is so many business owners say, yeah, I know I have to do marketing, but, and then there's a whole story. Stephanie helps you find the marketing pieces that you will actually do, because it's not about all the marketing stuff that you're not doing. It's about what you are doing. And I am totally on that same page when it comes to money and when it comes to growing your business. Find what you actually will do. And Stephanie was very willing to share her thoughts on money. So let's dive in.
Great. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Susie.
Yeah, well, I'm really thrilled to hear your insights, specifically because you are an American living in the Netherlands, and that brings a whole new paradigm, I believe. The first question I would like to ask you, and I would like you to introduce yourself with that question, is what is the specific incident that started your journey in this arena?
That started my journey to start my own business?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, a lot of things emerge from dissatisfaction, and this is one of them. I was, after working in corporate for many years in the US and then also here in the Netherlands, and I was like, why am I commuting to a job that I don't like, that has no meaning? There has to be something more than this. So it was my personal quest for meaning that led me to hire a coach, try to figure out what I wanted to do, which turned out to become a coach and start my business.
Yeah, I think everybody can relate to that. Well, not everybody who has a business, but all our listeners now, anyway. Right. I know it's been true for me as well. Just finding meaning is so important.
Yes, that's actually why I have trademarked the word meaningpreneur.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was like that word has just been my kind of anchor since the beginning. And that was a couple of years ago. And it's like everyone who's doing work that you're passionate about, that is meaningful to you and makes a difference in your client's life, I consider them a meaningpreneur. So you're for sure one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I think everybody can relate to that in some level. And then how were you financially? I always talk about financial harmony instead of financial freedom. And I'm thinking, what does financial harmony mean to you?
I love that word too. I think it's much better than freedom. It just gives you a different feeling somehow, the harmony piece. So for me, financial harmony means that you have enough. And that's a whole deep discussion of what is enough and how do you know when enough is enough. And that's related to your values. When I left the corporate world, I had quite a bit of money in savings because I've had kind of a solid background with money from my parents. You know, don't spend what you don't have. Looking at money, not doing crazy things, saving as well. So I did have some money in reserve. So that gave me a feeling of space that I could begin and explore as I went along. So for me, harmony means that you have enough mentally, also in the bank account, but that's, yeah. Because that's a whole nother discussion again, like with Byron Katie and the work and money about, you know, do you need money? Is that true? And wanting what you have, and that's always enough. So for me, financial harmony means having enough in my mind and in my bank account and loving what is currently.
And did you always feel that way when you started out, or what makes you lie awake about money, or do you always see it down?
I don't lie awake about money. I have had periods where I was like, oh, I need more clients. And then what I always try to do if I get into a weird space is just to slow down for sure, instead of speed up, and take a look and think, hey, what's happening? And because you can't, taking action from that place of scarcity or fear is not going to be a positive or enjoyable action. So if you just step back, and this is something I was thinking about when I was preparing for this interview, is that, and what I wanted to share with people, it's like, what's the worst case scenario? I mean, if you need to, you can always get a part-time job or a full-time job. So there's nothing's happening for most of the people that we're talking about and talking with here. It's like we all have the capability and possibility to get some freelance work, or like I said, get a part-time job if you need to. So if you have skills you can fall back on, there's really nothing to worry about. So it's just getting centered and then coming up with a plan, which comes back to having a really solid business model.
And I think that I know for sure I can relate to periods where I didn't really feel that there was a fallback plan.
Right? Okay.
So once you wake up, you think, what's really going on? I mean, worst case, I have to move back into my parents. Well, I wouldn't really prefer that. But I mean, it's not like I'm going to die. But before that wake up moment, it can really feel very different. And you say, okay, so just get centered. And I agree totally with you. But I think that a lot of listeners might not really get how to do that.
Well, I mean, first feel whatever you're feeling. So I'm not trying to shut off anyone's emotions. So if you need to go have a good cry, I love a good cry. So do whatever you need, take a walk, do whatever you need to do to just be in that moment and feel it. But then realize that the only way out of it is to get some clarity. So you're going to have to just come down. I like to think in practical terms. So get out of your head and get back on paper. So you can, you know, do some worksheets, investigate your thoughts with the work of Byron Katie, but you can also just go, okay, let's start from the very beginning. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? You know, connected to your why. And then look at your business model. And I always come back to the business model, because so many people are just like, I'm so passionate about the work I do, but they don't think about their business model. They don't write it down. They don't pay attention to it. They don't even know if it's actually feasible. Like maybe they've projected, oh, I think in my head I want to have 30 clients, but then there's actually not enough time in the day to even have that. So yeah, so it's just, once you see the numbers in black and white and you know what you're trying to achieve, then it makes achieving it so much easier, because it's clear. It's when people just have this idea in their head and they haven't really put the numbers on paper that they struggle, I think.
Absolutely true. I know that to be true for myself as well. I really think that I know everything by head. You really don't. You really don't. You have to write it down, whether you like to or not.
You do. And I find, you know, I know not everyone's happy or savvy with Excel, but if you have a little worksheet, or even with a pencil and paper and a calculator, playing with the numbers, it can be really fun. And I'm not like a super huge numbers geek. Accounting is not my deal. I outsource all my accounting. But just to see, like, what if I raise the price of this product to that? Or what if I had 10 more clients here? And it's like, it's really exciting. So it can be something that's not stressful or scary or frightening. It can be super fun.
Yeah, it really can be. Yeah. And what I was talking about the other day with somebody, and that really hit home for me in a certain way. And I'm really curious about your thoughts, that sometimes you feel like you have a great idea, but you've never done it. So you have a wonderful idea and you think, that's really how I should be doing it. And you have this vision. And then once you start doing it, you notice that you're not really where you want to be yet.
Yeah.
And that can really feel like, I'm not good enough, or I will never get there, or whatever. And somehow you need to just go on and practice. And I know that happened to me with money specifically. When I started looking at my numbers, I was like,
this is such a mess. I will never get out of this place. And somehow being happy with the practice, I think that's the same with marketing or same with building your business, same with anything, actually. Mm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's what you said is so true. I mean, you can, it's a matter of what's happened is you started taking it personally. You started thinking, okay, I'm not good enough. When it may have absolutely nothing to do with you. It could be the wrong offer. It could be the wrong price. It could be the wrong audience. I mean, there's so many things going on there. So I'm a huge fan of The Four Agreements by Miguel Ruiz, that book. Yeah. It's not a financial book, but when he talks about don't take things personally, definitely look at the thing, and everything's an experiment, marketing and business. So you have to give it enough time to try to succeed a little bit. And I like what Seth Godin says, just try to find one client, just see if you can find one. And then from there, maybe you'll find another one. So if you have this big vision, don't put so much pressure on yourself. Just go with a straight line from you to a possible client and see, is this something interesting?
Yeah. I love what you say there, because I always tell people that it can feel like, I need clients, because I need money. But in the end, money always comes from the client. So if you treat that one client in a way that he will refer to other people, or that you understand how you can build a system to get other people, then you are building your business, and that is the way to go to the future. But somehow it can also feel like it's not going fast enough.
Yes.
Have you ever been in that situation yourself? I was wondering.
It's not going fast enough. Well, I think everyone always wants everything to go faster at some level. I mean, there's definitely been things that I've tried that have not worked. And then, so it's not that it didn't go fast. It just didn't work at all. And that's the beauty of it. Everything, like I said, is an experiment. You just have to try. And then the biggest mistake you can make is to not learn from your mistake. So when you make a mistake, learn from it, incorporate that as you go forward. It doesn't mean you won't make new, different mistakes. It's just part of the process. And I think, yeah, if you think of it as an experiment and don't take it personally, and if you are in that space where you're like, gosh, this isn't going fast enough, then I would, again, slow down and look, well, what are your actions? Are you fiddling around with your font? Are you, you know, changing the layout of your newsletter? Then stop doing that stuff.
And there, right?
Yeah, that's not going to get you there faster. And stop doing things that are just, you know, keeping you busy that you think are contributing, and actually make a list proactively of, these are people I want as clients, and get in touch with them. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, you can actually just make a straight line and walk right towards them. So I think we complicate things unnecessarily a lot.
Yeah. What's your preferable way of complicating things?
Well, that's a good one. I think I would probably say I would complicate it by maybe not, like, to me, the picking up the phone is the most direct route. And I probably would send an email first, just because I want to respect people's time and not bother them. When in reality, most people, if they're people that answer their phone, because some people don't answer their phone, is that they'll just be honest and say, well, I don't have time now, or I do have time now. So I think it's always best to go for a voice in-person connection, or voice phone or Skype type connection. So that would probably be where I would slow it down a bit, is by starting with an email. Or something in the mail.
Yeah, I get that. And what's the biggest thing that you would say helps you from not getting in that place even?
That's a good one. I've used this word recently too. Someone said, well, what's a different word for marketing? Because I just don't like marketing. No one likes it. And I think connection. I really focus on connection. I love to connect with people. I love to connect people to each other. And if you just focus on that, and also the intention of the truth to get to the answer, can I help this person or not? Then it's all the blocks melt away, because you're clear about your intention. It's just to find out if it could be helpful or not. And along the way, you make these wonderful connections with amazing people. So it's just a shift, I think, in intention and on the focus. So staying connected and seeking the truth instead of trying to make a sale.
Absolutely. Yeah, I write things down. Yeah. And what if people go on that journey of writing things down, changing your intention, because that in itself can be a lot of work. I've had years where I had 8 hours a day focusing on that inner game and 1 or 2 hours on the outside game. And that really shifted everything. So just for people to understand, that's not always easy, but I really don't think you have any other choice. I'm thinking, do you?
No, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. If you're having trouble with your outer game, you definitely need to look at your inner game. And that is the name of a book. I don't know if you've read that book or you're referring to it, The Inner Game of Work. That's, for sure. That's the whole thing with money, you know, also everyone has these money blueprints that we come from, you know, you get it from your family, from your culture, from all kinds of situations. And you really need to understand your relationship to and with money in order to, you know, make friends with it and see it as a friend and understand your values and how that's connected and to pay attention to money. You know, if you ignore it, it's a problem. So you have to resolve that one way or the other. And it may take some more work for some than others. Yeah. And if you don't do that, it's always going to be a struggle. You can be a billionaire and feel poor, or you can, you know, have $10 in your account and feel rich. It's all, you know, it's all up here, basically. So
it's true, because I hear a lot of people say, well, if I would have money, I could be friends with it.
That's a good one.
I'm not going to be friends with something I don't even have. So how do you think about that?
I think you can be friends with it without having it. It's The Work and Money by Byron Katie. It's a little book, but it's not even about the money. Money's just paper. It's an idea. It's a concept. I mean, what are you really looking for? What's really going to make you happy? What is it you want that you think you don't have? It's a definite mind shift, and it's not easy to make, like you said. And if people are struggling with money issues, it can be a humongous barrier. I mean, and this relates even to pricing, right? That's another mistake that business owners make, is they underprice. So there's so many things involved there, and fear about, you know, your value and what you're worth. And
how would you say you get to a good price? How do you do that?
It's a combination of things. I've done a lot of research on pricing. You know, there's so many different opinions out there. You know, should you have the 9? Should you have the 7? Should you have whole numbers? Should you, you know, anchor pricing? It's at the end of the day, I don't spend a lot of time on it. It's something that's like, you get a ballpark, figure what's going on out there. You think about the value you create for your clients. In any industry market, there's going to be a high end and a low end. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be the Walmart, or do you want to be Tiffany's, or somewhere in between? So it's hard to mess it up. I mean, because you can always change it, and you always will be changing it. Yeah. So I don't really stress out too much about pricing. I just pick a number and, you know, and go with it. And if it needs to be changed, I change it. I think people do really stress out a lot about it. It has to be perfect, or it's too much, or people don't get my value. But that comes back again to your inner game. You have to believe it, that you're delivering that value. If you don't believe it, it is going to be hard for other people to say, I want that as well.
Yeah, and I see so many business coaches, specifically on the internet, saying, oh, you have to have high ticket items and you have to have high ticket value. I'm wondering, what's your thoughts on that?
I think you have to do whatever you want to do. And we talked about this before we started recording. It's like, what is the definition of success? If you would be thrilled to make 30,000 euros a year profit, that fulfills all your life dreams and you have everything you want or need, that's perfect. And then you have tons of free time for your family, travel, whatever. If your goal is to be a millionaire, that's also perfect. It's just, I don't tell people what your goal should be. I let them tell me what they want, and I try to help them reach it. So I think it's very personal. I think it's very individual what each person wants. And success, you have to define what you want for yourself first and let that come from the internal.
I love that. I have so many experiences that I wanted something and then in the end found out that there were so many downsides to it that I really didn't want it.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, oh, I have to have a high-end thing, or I have to have a membership, or I have to do things that don't fit for you. It's the same with marketing. Don't do things that don't fit for you, or that don't thrill you, or because then it won't thrill your clients. And then you're just doing it because someone told you to. I don't like that.
No. No, and it's, and there's this, how do you say that? Lemniscat? I don't know the English word.
Infinity?
Infinity sign. Yeah. Where you somehow, if you only start doing what feels good, you won't get out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And if you're out of your comfort zone 100% of the time, you're probably ending up burnout. So how would you gap that bridge?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that fits in a lot of my metaphors or analogies relate to marketing because that's what I love. But it's, yeah. I encourage people just have three marketing strategies. Three's enough. Do those three really well. And then maybe you can add one. So that's where I dare you to step out and try something new. So it's the same idea with your business. If you're going along just doing things you love, you know, try a new program, try a new offer, always be experimenting. And the way you can do this is by listening to yourself and what you want to do, but also asking your clients, what would you like to see? What are you missing? Float some ideas, do a survey. Would you like to have a more group program or would you like to do a membership? So to answer the question, it's keep like maybe 50 to 75% in a kind of familiar, grounded, sustainable situation, and then experiment with the rest of it.
Yeah, I love that. And what if people really take this to heart? And what if they really start going on this kind of, what we're talking about is kind of a journey of investigation, right? Mm-hmm. Really kind of investigating what is it that I really want, try it out, tweak it, find new ways of doing it, find what feels right, make other things feel better. But what if you do it that way? What becomes possible? Why would you even try?
Well, I think people that are curious are already doing it. And the people that, when you say, why would you even try? It's because they've come to that point, unfortunately, where they're at rock bottom. They're like, I'll try anything because it's not working. So however you get there, it's like, what do you have to lose? It's just, you know, Seth Godin bangs on about this all the time about it's your turn. Do it. You have the platform. Everything's available to you now. You know, get over this crazy fear. What's, you know, nothing's going to happen. There's only you're going to do something and you'll learn it. And you've probably heard this as well, that the biggest regret dying people have is not having done something. It's not that they regret doing something. They're like, well, I wish I would have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. What I've been coming to understand over the past year or two or something is that fear, that there is only one cure for fear. And that's why I love our discussion now, is that the only cure for fear that I ever found, and there might be another one that I never found, what I found is action.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Action is the way forward. Action is the way you learn. Action creates momentum. I mean, staying in your head is only going to keep you stuck in your head and miserable. So it's just, it's a combination of iterative, you know, do be, and just keep doing it, take action. That's the one thing I really encourage everyone to do is just, if you're considering something, try it. It's just, nothing's bad's going to happen.
Yeah, and try it, because that's the real gold nugget, I think. Try the thing that you will actually do, and try the one thing that you actually feel you could do.
Yes. And
it's not looking at all the other people who are doing other things.
Yes. And most of the time, these people know exactly what that next step is. If you ask them, what's the one thing that's been hovering around your mind that you've been pondering, that you're thinking about doing, they can just immediately say it. And they're like, do it. Just do that thing. So people listening, this is your cue to say, okay, I'm going to do that thing today. And just, it's going to give you so much energy and joy. And either way, no matter what happens, you're going to learn from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this. Yeah. So is there anything you would like to add to this?
I just think it's so important, again, for financial, with people with businesses and money, that you start with your business model and make sure you have a super solid business model. And when I say business model, some people hear business plan. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
a business model.
To me, there's a book called The Business Model Canvas, which goes really in depth, which is a great book. But when I'm just starting a conversation with someone, just to keep it light and easy, it's just simply, how does your business make money? That's it. So you have these different revenue streams. Maybe you have one, maybe you have two, maybe you have three, maybe you have more. And then you have a number of clients and it costs a certain price and you multiply that out, add it up, and there you go. And so that's just, how does your business make money? How does your business create value? Because like I said before, people have these numbers or ideas in their head, or it'd be great to serve this many people, but they've never actually just done some simple math to see, oh, well, that only brings me to X, or that brings me way more money if I do it like this. So it's, if you don't have that, which is so easy to do and it can be really fun, then you're building a business on air. There's nothing, I mean, you might get lucky, you might just follow your nose and it all works out, but it just gives you so much more, it helps you be relaxed and not be stressed because you know you have a plan there.
Yeah, so you'd actually say figure out what actually is producing money in your organization.
Yes. I actually wrote a post just like, do you know what your most profitable revenue stream is? Because some people just, they know money's coming in, but they're not really sure. And it's not only, I mean, profitable is not only how much money it brings in, because you have to look at how much time you're putting into it as well.
Yes.
So there's a combination of factors, like something that is very easy for you to do that takes a little amount of your time that's highly profitable. You should do a lot more of that one.
More of that.
If you have something that takes a ton of time, it doesn't make so much money, but you know, it makes you so happy. Okay. So this is where it comes in, where your values come in. But this leads me to another great point that I've seen many people fall into, is they focus on revenue and not profit.
Yeah.
And I don't care if your business makes $1 million, if you bring home, you know, 100, then it's not really that great of a business. So
exactly. So what would you say it should be? What if you have $1 million in revenue? What should your profit be?
Well, it depends on your business and if it's service-based or if it's got, you know, high costs or materials or insurance things. But I mean, in general, you know, and profitability is different among all different kinds of industry. So what I would just say is make sure you just focus in on the profit. So whatever it is, hopefully it's definitely more than 10%. I would hope 10 or 12%. I would hope so. Just to give a framework, but I mean, it's, that's the number that's most important, because that's what you're actually creating after you've taken away all the time and energy and money it takes to make that happen. And it's a simple, you don't have to be an accountant to understand it.
No, and I really think that I made that mistake when I just started out. I thought, wow, I made 120,000 guilders at that point.
Yeah.
And wow, I'm rich. But then the tax office came by. I had to pay a few suppliers, and it was still very good. I just never accounted for that.
Right. And so that sounds very good. And it's just, yeah. So just to see the whole picture maybe is another way to say it. So see how profit fits in with the revenue.
Yeah, so if you make a goal like I want 30,000 euros a year, then figure out what you actually should be making in revenue to keep that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's important. You have to pay attention to your money. You have to think about your money. You have to let money flow as well. I love the this book, The Soul of Money, Lynn Twist.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, she's got some great stuff in there. But it's if you're not happy with your relationship with money, that's where you need to start looking at that. And then whatever it takes, however long it takes to get cool with that and to be able to find a way to feel happy about your connection with money, that's going to help you so much with your business, because that's just a huge worry that's taken away, and you can really focus on doing the work and helping the people that you want to help.
Absolutely. So what is your practice of keeping a good relationship with money? How do you do that?
Well, I do pay attention to it. I look at all my numbers frequently. I revisit the business model frequently. Pricing, like I said, I don't worry about pricing too much. I mean, if I have a new product or service, I will think about it and put it there. But that's also, it always goes back to the business model, right? Because you're going to be looking at that and seeing how the numbers end up. I enjoy like the flow of money. So I'm happy when I get to pay somebody that helped me do something, you know, my accountant or
that's really important.
My WordPress, you know, you don't want to hold it and squeeze it up. You know, it has to flow. So I'm happy when I get to pay people. I'm also happy when money comes in and I think, oh, this is great, you know? So it's, the attention is important. It is, ignoring it is not good. And always just, again, your mindset of like, what three of the myths that she talks about is, you know, there's never enough, more is better. Is that true?
You know? Yeah, that's a really good question to ask yourself. Is it really true?
Yeah.
Or is it really true? I hear a lot of entrepreneurs saying, I don't think money is important. I'm not working for my money. And that's another one. Is that really true?
Yeah, I don't think that's true either. I mean, it may not be your main focus or your main driver. And money is important because it does allow you to continue to serve your clients. If you're not being rewarded and therefore you can't, you know, pay your rent, therefore you're sleeping on the street, you're going to be able to serve fewer clients. So it facilitates your work, and it also facilitates your ability to do additional work if you're into donating money or doing charity work or volunteering. So it allows you, if you're more financially successful and you have more time, then you can do more business, or you can do other valuable things for the community.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love this. So is there anything we should add to this?
Anything we should add? Well, I think I've hit on the main things. You know, have a strong business model, focus on profit, not revenue, don't underprice, you know, take a look at your money situation, don't ignore it, and just really think about the bigger picture. And if you get in trouble, you get stuck, and you can't work through it by yourself, you know, call someone, call a friend, talk it over, but don't give up. I would say don't give up. Keep going. You will get there. If it's important to you and you really want to make some big changes around money and your business, don't give up. Don't stop searching and talk to people about it. There's communities out there that are, you know, available to support you. There's so much information.
Absolutely. Stay in the game. Yeah.
Yes. Stay in the game. Stay in the game.
So if people are listening to this interview, what is the one recommendation you would say that as soon as they get off the call, they should do now? Because I've come to find that for 20 years, I read books and I thought, oh, now I get it. But it was here, right?
Yeah.
So it only makes sense once you do it, but that can feel really overwhelming. So what's the first action they should do immediately after listening to this?
I would say, let's just put the rubber to the road. Go get your Excel spreadsheet or get a pencil and paper and a calculator and literally sketch out what you believe your business model to be right now. Have a look at it, make some adjustments. You can change it for the future, but getting clear on your business model is the first step toward being able to reach those goals. If you don't know what they are, you can't reach them. So it's it doesn't have to be hard and fast. You don't have to be insane about it. Just get an overview, get a clear picture of what you're really doing. And then from there, take action to implement it.
Yeah. So I love that. So everybody, get ready to get your Excel sheet, pull it out, and get clarity.
Thank clarity.
You very much, Stephanie. I love talking to you, and I think this is very valuable to our listeners. So next week, we will have the next money interview. Stay tuned, because all of these interviews are so inspiring. If you really want to make a change, start listening to these kinds of people, because there's so much value in this. Even if you think, oh, I know that already, I've heard that already, well, that might mean you're not really doing it yet. So keep listening, and at a certain point, the coin will drop, and you will start taking the action you need to take. But for now, it's the Excel sheet.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Susie.